The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Loveline. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, we've seen that man there, Dr. Drew Pinsky. Mike Catherwood, you go crazy.
Showtime!
This is Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
This is Loveline.
Loveline. With Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood.
Yeah! You live, bitch. Anderson forgot.
Yes, bitch!
Yeah. Thanks. Look. Me. Oh. Who's your daddy, bitch? Oh. You live. You live. Yes!
Yes. So happy. Dr. Bruce joins us once again. Dr. Drew is still in Florida. Hopefully he will return alive.
And thank God Emily's here to balance out the insanity you bring to the mic.
That's ridiculous that you said that. And secondly, it is nice that Emily's here.
For whatever reason.
Well, just because
of that.
You know, the studio smells a lot better when you're here.
I try. I try to bring good things, right? Especially if you don't have any releases from your body for the night, it'll smell pretty good.
Yeah, I've been pretty good about that lately.
Yeah, if you haven't farted in anyone's face offensively since, you know, probably a few months.
I never farted in your face.
Not mine.
Yeah.
But there were faces that you had farted in while I was here. In
really?
Fact, yeah.
Whose?
You farted in Drew's face once.
Okay, that's
good. I actually have it on Instagram, at Sex with Emily, if you'd like to see that. We were asphyxiated during the break. We had to leave the room, and we actually had to start the show late because of this scent. I think lately you've been good,
though. God, I'm awesome.
You're pretty awesome. I can't say that anyone's ever, like, defumigated me out of a room.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. We were going to talk about, we were going to discuss what our open forum was going to be, but then Rune came in and we all just, the only thing we could agree upon is that Rune had a dumb idea.
No, it wasn't that it was a dumb idea. Let's not judge. It's that we did this topic like a month ago. And so no one believes me.
I don't
you
think
were
we
here.
Did. I think we did blind date disasters, but I don't know. Remember doing double date disasters.
Okay, but, no, we did. People, I hugged up with the other one. We did. Double date something we did. And you can't do.
Well, Rune is going to be doing
Rune,
live. He's
going
to live tweet throughout the entire show. So go
he's
to.
He's saying we didn't. Okay.
At Loveline on Twitter, Rune Kincaid will be tweeting, live tweeting throughout the entire show, which is adds a little different level of excitement. And we will figure out an open forum, even if it's something that we have to, if we have to go back to one of our old favorites.
Like our celebrity hookups?
No, we did that the other night.
See, it's my favorite.
It's never.
I'm going to come up with something. It's never what?
It's disappointing. I pointed out that it's like Saturday Night Live from the 70s. If you can just make random noises with your phone, it'd be great. It's like Saturday Night Live from the 70s where everyone always goes, man, it was so much better back in the day because there was this bit and that bit. And I go, well, you're pointing out the highlights of it. And there were amazing bits out of 7 seasons. But overall, it's just as bland as any era. You know what I'm saying? Like, and with celebrity hookups, we like to look back on it and go, such an amazing open forum because of like 3 or 4 calls.
Like the Michael Caine.
Right. But in actuality, it's just usually a bunch of people going, I hooked up with this person. And I go, okay, well, who is that? And they go, they were on one season of That's So Raven. And I go, that's fun. Next
Wait,
call.
But I have a great idea.
Yes.
Why don't we announce it now and say that we're going to do it like a week from now and we repeat it so then we only get callers who are legit, who have actually set people that we've heard of. So if they have time to think about it, to tell your friends, you should call into Loveline with a story about the time you banged Tom Cruise or something.
She wants us to like trend or something.
I think, no, we could trend celebrity hookups.
Why don't we have celebrities call in and talk about the randoms that they hooked up?
You know I'm on Tinder now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah? That's cute. With a picture of you and your baby and your wife? Yeah.
No, a picture. I started my Tinder account for research purposes.
Quote.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got a couple matches, so. You might have to examine that. Hello, Jonathan.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hello, Dr. Drew, Mike, Emily.
Hello there.
How you doing?
I'd like to have sex with children.
Dr. Drew.
I'm Dr. Drew. I bang children.
What? Oh, that's great.
That's great.
Profound.
Wonderful.
I need to kill this 8-year-old and rape her when she's dead.
Oh,
that's what I love to do.
He loves when you.
What, Jonathan? What can we do for you?
Okay. First off, I had called a couple weeks ago, and I got put on Levitra by my doctor, and that's going great. Back to shooting ropes. Everything's good.
Great.
Yeah. But now my question is for Emily. I am going on I have to go away for business for about 6 weeks. And I want to keep sex life alive with the girlfriend. And,
okay.
I want to know a good, you know, small vibrator to buy her that we could kind of have a Skype sex with.
Okay. That is a great question. And I actually have the most perfect answer because you are asking me about something that exists that is the number one trend in vibrator technology right now. And that is a remote control vibrator that has an app that you can download and control from your smartphone, and she can wear it. And while you guys are Skype sexing, you can sexting, you can control the vibrations of what she's feeling while looking at her.
That's pretty sweet.
It is called the Nua, N-U-A, by Jeju. Go to my website. Click on the Jeju banner.
That company could use a couple consonants.
I know. It's like to play
in
French.
It's called the Nua.
Just Google, like, yeah, Nua. It's Jeju. Sexwithemily.com. Click on the banner. You get 10% off. And that's a cool – okay, but here's another thing.
Yeah.
If you – I don't know how much – money you have, I would just get her, if she's clitorally oriented, get her a pocket rocket. Get her a bullet. It's like $15. So I don't know how much
money you have. But the remote aspect is really cool.
The remote aspect is so cool because she could be wearing it at work and you could be at your, you know, thousands of miles away and you can just start vibing her and she could be wearing it in her panties and it's really, really hot.
What if somebody hacks in? You know, like hackers.
Hackers, yeah. Who's vibrating me now? That's not my vibration patterns that I want.
Let me ask you a question. You don't.
You both have to download the app and agree that and consent that he has power over your vibrator.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not that serious.
No, what was your question?
The question is, you know, as an ER doctor, people lose these things. Is anyone developed, you know, like a boogie board, you got a wrist chain or, you know, like a rope to, is any kind of safety device so it doesn't get lost up in orifices?
Like a leash.
Yeah, a leash. A vibrator leash.
Most vibrators are – there are some that they say, like, do not insert it inside you.
So, like, they read the instructions.
Yeah. I mean, I hope most of them are large enough that they know that they can't.
I think they say that on like, bottles and stuff. Don't insert in your –
yeah.
But
especially in your
it.
Butt. No, really. It, and you should always use a lot of lube if you're having sexual activities down there. But not when you don't use toys there that are slippery and don't have those things.
So
that
the
are,
answer
like,
to my
stoppers.
Question is there are no leashes for vibrators. No one's thinking about me
but
at
maybe
work.
Maybe if you'd like to start one, that could be a whole new thing. Every
it's not a bad idea,
you.
Bruce.
Yeah, really.
Hello, Jamie. I hear you're crying.
What's that?
Anyone?
Little Van Halen.
Little Van Halen reference?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Jamie.
Oh, Van Halen reference?
Yes. What can we do for you?
Quick question. I have a little bit of a problem. It's been about two
smoking?
Years, and I haven't been able to have an orgasm. Any idea why?
Are you having sex?
Currently, I have not had sex within about the past, I would say, 4 months. I haven't been with anybody.
Have you been masturbating?
I've been trying to, and it's like I get off, but I don't feel it. I know I could feel, you know, I could feel the, let's just put it, like, juices.
Right, you feel it rising, and it's like the case of the missing orgasm, like it's almost there, and then poof, it's gone.
Yeah, but it's there. It happens.
Okay,
but
this
I don't
doesn't
feel
as strong. Okay, so are you on any medication?
Yes.
Okay, did you, what kind?
Adderall.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, that will do it.
Really?
Yes, it's a stimulant,
absolutely.
A powerful one.
When did you start it? About the time you stopped having orgasms?
I stopped having orgasms 2 years ago. However, I started on Adderall about 4 years ago.
Well,
are you on an SSRI as well?
I was on SSRIs before that.
All right. Listen.
Yeah. It's the meds. You might need to cut them down. You might need to
see
your doctor.
Yeah. Over time, your Adderall effect can change, especially with sex. And so that's.
Oh, bogus.
It can change. You mean that the more you take it, the more the sexual side effects will come out over time?
Right. It can happen.
Because sometimes they subside with medication.
Right. Absolutely. I think with SSRIs, some people have built up sort of a tolerance to certain of the sexual effects. Now, tell me, you do sound like a smoker. Are you a smoker?
She's gone.
Well, well.
She actually passed away.
She has to be healthy, too.
I was going to take a boring medical history anyway, so we're
and listen,
better off.
She had plenty of reasons to not be orgasming. What's this guy saying? Excuse me? Adam.
Oh, hey, what's up?
How's your rib? Go ahead.
How's my what?
Never mind. Oh, my God. No one's ever smoked more weed than Adam.
Oh, I didn't see that coming.
I think I hate him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and more so, not just because of the cussing, but
his blatant disregard.
The whole demeanor.
Right. Like, absolutely.
Like, Spicoli was sweet to me when I was a freshman in high school, but I can't deal with Adam right now. We talk to him again?
Let's punish him.
Adam?
Uh-oh. Okay, I am so sorry. I will listen,
you're on dangerous ground already, be very careful.
I got
yes,
a question,
go.
Very important question.
What?
Who is okay. your Adam, who is your favorite person in the world?
Dr. Drew.
It's a lie, you know.
Good
it.
Call.
No, yeah, okay, exactly.
All right. I got to hear some questions.
Right, wait, hold on. I got to say something.
Yeah.
My idea of Adam has radically transformed just in the last like 10 seconds. I feel like he might actually be awesome.
Okay.
I'm actually a salesman, so.
A salesman of what?
Oh, you just went down again.
He sounds like a blowhard.
Hey.
Dude, what are you calling for?
Dr. Drew's not even here, so. Is that a typical Drew fan? I mean, come on.
Well, yeah. No, that's one of your sons.
I'm outraged.
This is the best night ever.
Well, I want to know what the guy's question is, even though he's a...
I don't at
No,
all.
We have to... I have even. To... Just, every, both of you need to just pipe down. I need to have a serious conversation with Adam for a second. Mm. He is really... like, he's an ISIS, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Engage. Go ahead.
Adam!
No, I had to double dump, so I got to wait. We can all be real
double
quiet.
Dump.
We got to be real quiet for
like
2 seconds, and it'll all catch right up.
All right. We're going to be... Hold on, everybody.
Shh, everyone be quiet.
Emily, how's life?
That's not quiet. And here's that.
Like, you're more
shut up. Shut up.
I will shut up.
We haven't heard a word you've said for the last 30 seconds because for the second time, you decided to scream the F word. Hello?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so don't cuss on the radio.
Okay.
What's wrong with you? Hello?
Uh-huh, still here.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I don't know. That's
command
why
of
I called
the English
in.
Language.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you have a question, or do you just want to ramble incoherently?
No, I do.
Would you like to tell us?
Yeah.
Any time now.
Okay. So my question is, in life, I've felt for about the past 2 years that I've been going on autopilot. And so I don't know if you have any, like...
autopilot with what?
Oh, no, you should have...
Like, just with my life in general, like, just feeling like I'm viewing things, like, in the audience in comparison to actually being a person, like, making decisions.
How old are you?
27.
And what have you accomplished in life?
Not too much.
Are you smoking a lot of marijuana?
Lately, but when I work, I actually don't. So.
You mean during the day?
Yeah, during the day I don't. It's just,
shocking.
Night.
Shocking.
Do you think that it might be the use of marijuana that might be making you feel like you're not progressing in life as you'd like to?
Well, I had stopped for quite a while. I actually
like
went
a
to
month?
Rehab for it. And
you went to rehab for it?
I did. And then I stopped. Well, that and other things. But I stopped completely. But it still didn't turn that off.
Turn what off? The feeling
so
off,
you feel
right.
like you're on autopilot. You feel like you're outside watching life and you're not inside yourself, not participating.
Adam sucks.
He needs therapy and he's numbing with drugs.
Emily Morse is here from sexwithemily.com. Right? Dr. Bruce is here from awesomethickpenis.com. And my friends, this is Loveline.
I'm Emily from sexwithemily.com. Want to surprise your love with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Go to adamandeve.com and use coupon code Emily for 50% off plus 3 adult DVDs plus a free gift. Hey, I'll even throw in free shipping. Remember to use coupon code Emily at adamandeve.com.
Look, Mommy, what's that up in the sky?
Oh, that's just Dr. Drew. He's always been up there.
More love lines still to come.
Hallelujah!
From the Oscar-winning screenwriter of 12 Years a Slave comes television's most extraordinary new dramatic series. Starting Thursday, March 5th, watch American Crime live at 10, 9 Central on ABC. Then tune into the American Crime podcast hosted by me, Elvis Mitchell. Each week we'll have a candid conversation with show creator John Ridley, plus show talent, character storylines, and more. Go to podcastone.com/American Crime to subscribe now.
LOVE191 is the number. Emily Morse is here from sexwithemily.com.
That's true.
And the Sex with Emily podcast. And so is Dr. Bruce from the Sex with Emily podcast in Emily's bedroom. Mm. Yeah.
In my bedroom?
People, yeah, a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
It is in my bedroom.
But I sleep with you're from the Sex with Emily podcast. Bruce is from the Sex with Emily practice, where he actually has sex with Emily.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Mike's just
perseverating. Or you're just thinking about having sex with me?
Well, you're...
Like many. My, that's why I get a lot of downloads.
Have you ever thought about having sex with Emily?
That's a yes.
Yes.
I can't honestly say I haven't, but I can't.
Really? How'd it go down?
I admitted to Emily that I beat off to her.
See?
Which I could take as a compliment. Because what if you like said you didn't? You know, actually, Emily, I beat off about everyone but you. I'd feel hurt.
Yeah, no, I beat off to you. Like, in fact, like very soon after I met you, I had to go home. I was like, yeah,
only once.
Yeah.
See that now I'm upset.
Well,
me.
I mean,
like,
why didn't I ever
come up and like again?
Because I have so many.
I know,
like, hot porn chicks
easily
at my disposal.
I guess I'm just honored that I made the way because you spent a good time curating your masturbation collection.
Yeah.
So I'm just honored that I made it once. And same with you, Bruce.
Yeah.
Dr. Bruce.
I beat off to Bruce too. Hello, Zach.
Hey, how you doing?
I was in my masturbation dream. I was doing Bruce from behind, and I'm like, I took off the condom. I'm going bareback. And he goes, if this is true, you're going to jail, buddy. Hello, Zach. What can we do for you?
Hi. All right. So my girlfriend has had kind of a sudden shift with my relationship with my girlfriend. She's essentially started hating me.
Why? That's pretty intense.
It is pretty intense. It's a shift that sort of happened over the last few weeks. You know, we've been together for like 2.5 months, maybe like 3 months.
Oh, well, then
okay.
Don't. Then
so
get
half
rid of
the
her.
Relationship she's been over you?
Excuse me?
Half the relationship she's not into you, is what you're saying? What happened? She's pulled away and said what?
Well, we're still.
Right. This whole 8 weeks together.
But Emily is correct. If for the last couple, what you said?
50% of the time she's been into you.
No. Like I'm like, okay. We start off, we're just crazy in love, love at first sight kind of thing.
Lust at first sight.
And then
It's lust, not love. But go ahead.
Disagree.
Okay, so you could not you cannot identify anything that you did to cause the amount of anger she's.
There's one possible. She saw me like yell at my little sister.
Okay. So now I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not diagnosing, but they're, you know, borderline personality disorder, the type of individuals that they form inordinately close relationships and attachments inexplicably. It's love at first sight, and then they suddenly have immense inappropriate displaced rage at the person. And, you know, in the medical field, you have a patient that comes in and say, oh, you're the most wonderful doctor. I've had 100 horrible doctors and I know you're going to save me. And then, you know, 2 visits later and, you know, you're as bad as you're horrible like everybody else. So that's, you can go look up borderline personality disorder. If that's the case, lucky only spend 2 months and run. But many times there's an early childhood trauma, something where they almost
with her, she actually was previously married to a guy who abused her.
Yeah, that's so traumatic.
It usually predates the adult trauma. So anyway, that's one aspect of it. And 2.5 months and having relationship that
this
was
is
that
when you're supposed
heavy.
To be having sex 6 times a day and everything is great and you shouldn't already be having these kind of issues early on.
Right. Unless,
yeah. Right?
Yep.
I mean, this absolutely. Is the dream team. This is the dream time. This is the time that
frankly,
I dream
about. It doesn't matter if you've been together for 60 years. There should never come a point where your partner hates you.
Yeah, hates is a strong word. True that?
That's why when Emily said it wasn't love at first sight and you disagreed. No, she is right. You are wrong. There's never – if it was true love at first sight, there's never a time when that person hates you.
Right.
But that's – yeah. But the well, – but the love at first sight and then anger that's way out of proportion to anything he did. It's almost like somebody has blood in their stool. You got to think of colon cancer. You like that analogy there, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, and
you think you're in love and she's a borderline personality.
Borderline personality disorder. Look it up, and that sounds awfully pathognomonic of what you're dealing with.
You don't want these extremes. This is not the last time she's going to go up and down, love you, hate you. This is like, you know what? She's showing you who she is right now, and you're lucky.
Hello.
It's time to walk.
Hello, Tony.
Hey, hello.
What's up, buddy?
I just had a question. I just want to know if sex addiction is real, and if it is real, what's the best way to go about dealing with it or handling it?
Sex addiction is very, very, very real, and you deal with it the same way you deal with all addictions, with a structured program to deal with the cause of that, you know, that addiction. And, you know, I have always recommended a 12-step based program, which is the same, you know, for sex addicts as it is for drug and alcohol.
How do you know if you have it, though? I mean, because friends, family, and lovers, current lovers and ex-lovers have told me that I do, that I want it too much, and when I don't have it, I'm moody, I'm irritable, I'm mad.
Well, it's more so, it's a lot more than just your sexual desire. There's a lot of factors that go into it, much like there's much more to being an alcoholic than just your desire to drink.
It's using sex as a drug. It's not. It's having the sexual impulse and desire as the focus of, and not inside a relationship. So you don't have intimacy. You're just looking for sex, and it becomes progressive. It becomes more risky sex. It becomes taking up more of your time, and there's a loss of control involved. So there's similarities to a drug or alcohol addiction. In terms of it's progressive and it becomes a focus of your life. And
you can go to Sex and Love Addicts Inc., right? SLAA, and you'd find it at didn't you guys always give out Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous meetings? They're all the time.
Right.
And you can go check it out and see if that's right for you.
Okay.
It sounds like you're already pretty, you know, obviously you shouldn't self-diagnose, but it sounds like you're pretty ready. You're ready to get some help.
But are you having sex in a relationship, or are you going out and getting hookers and going to strip clubs?
Currently, I'm in a monogamous relationship. In the past, yeah, I had all of the above, different things like that.
Right, but usually it is like an addiction. In other words, you spend more and more of your time having sex or trying to have illicit affairs and things that are not related to intimacy or a monogamous relationship. So.
I think you'd find it rewarding to find help, to
go
find
to some
community.
Meetings or...
Don't just go once, though. Go 3 times and then make a decision. Or all six, right. And then still go. Yeah.
Let's talk to... All right. Let's talk to Josh. Poor Josh has boner problems. Mm. Hello, Josh.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
We're good.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm on the East Coast, so I can't like hear the show tonight.
Okay.
Live. I have to wait till tomorrow. So I don't know who's there. Is Mike's there? And I don't know who.
I am here.
I don't know if anybody else is here.
I'm here. Sex with Emily. Emily and Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce is like Dr. Drew.
Bruce. Cool.
Yeah, and
cool,
sex with Emily. So we can help you with whatever ails you.
Yeah, I have a boner problem. I don't have a problem with like getting the boner part of it, but it's the finishing things off. At the end, I've never ejaculated from oral sex ever.
Yeah, but that's okay.
That happens.
Had a lot of troopers give it a good go, but I mean, it never happened. You know,
does it happen during intercourse?
It's happened twice.
You've ejaculated twice during intercourse.
Yes.
How many times have you had sex?
I mean, I don't know a general number. So I lost my virginity pretty late. I lost it at 22.
And how old are you now?
I'm 29, and I've made up for lost time, I would say, but just like majority of the time. And you know, it sucks with like girlfriends.
I get it. It's called delayed ejaculation, and it's common with men, and it's really hard to treat. But there are, you know, some things that you could do. And first of all, if you're with someone that you care about, you have to reassure, you know, the woman that it's not about her, that you're attracted to her, that this mm-hmm. happens before. You have to be upfront and talk about it, because women are going to think, oh, my, I'm not good at what I'm doing. I don't know how to perform
yeah,
oral sex.
That's happened.
And they're going to feel insecure about it. But if you just accept, you know, this is how you are, there are, you know, ways you could work at it. You could do some Kegel exercises. You can talk to your doctor. But it's been going on your whole life. So you're just going to find a way to work at it. Mutual masturbation. I'm assuming that you can orgasm on your own when you're masturbating.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a really hot way for couples to connect intimately.
Yeah.
Like you watch her, she watches you, she knows what you like, and then, you know, you'll get more comfortable, and then you both get off and have a good time, and then, you know, watch SportsCenter or something.
Yeah. I mean, I've done that part of it. That's usually how things
Yeah. But the thing is,
up.
Are you okay? I mean, I know wrap it's frustrating. Up. Have you talked to anyone about it, or?
No, that's why I called. Just
right.
I haven't talked to anybody.
I mean,
here's another thing to point out. A lot of people don't orgasm with certain sex acts.
Right.
Like, there's plenty of guys who just oral doesn't do it. So you're not malfunctioning. You're not
intercourse only twice.
Yeah, sometimes. Well, no, but he's doing it with intercourse at least.
No, you know? Just twice.
But that's twice
that's
more
twice,
than
right.
people who have true delayed
that's
ejaculation.
True.
You know.
But he said sex. Okay. So do you remember those instances where you did?
No, we have to go.
Oh,
we have to get a break.
I just want to help everyone.
I understand that.
To the end.
That's why you're the best. Sex with Emily's Emily Morris is here. Dr. Bruce is here. My friends, this is Loveline.
I'm Emily from sexwithemily.com. Have you ever heard of a massage candle? It's a regular candle that instantly turns into massage oil. Why do you need one? Massage gets your partner in the mood, and the warm, luxurious oil feels amazing when you pour it on. It's your secret weapon in the bedroom. If you want to spice things up, get your partner in the mood, and have incredible sex. I created these candles so you can have the best sex of your life. Go to emilyandtony.com, use code EMILY for 20% off. That's emilyandtony.com, coupon code EMILY.
Love line. We'll be right back.
Oh, feels so good, doesn't it?
Coming to Podcast One this Thursday, The Chive, the podcast.
This is really cool.
If it's funny, it's hot, and it's trending, they're on it.
Yes, sir!
So tell all your friends The Chive's coming to Podcast One. Well, at least the ones who like comedy, sports, and boobs.
America loves what they love.
The Chive, the podcast. Coming to Podcast One this Thursday. That's podcastone.com.
Yeah, buddy, it's Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Emily Morris is here from sexwithemily.com. So is Dr. Bruce, filling in for Dr. Drew. Wow, are you in a fast car, Abel? Is Abel skateboarding a pool?
Oh, I'm in the car.
Okay, what's up?
All right, my question is that I met this girl over the summer. And
met you in the summer?
I met this girl over the summer, and I started having feelings for her. And I let her know how I felt towards her. But what she told me was that she tried to like me, but she doesn't understand why she can't have the same feelings towards me. And I'm wondering, does that have anything to do with the fact that she's been sexually abused?
Oh, I would imagine that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, how long have you never been together? It's just someone that you met and she doesn't? She's not attracted
to you? It's not that we met. It's just that we would always talk. You know, she's my neighbor, and right. We would always talk, like, once in a while. Well, a lot. And I told her how I felt, and, well, she likes me, but she doesn't understand why she can't like me in that sort of way.
And then
maybe she's just not that into you. It might have to not have to do with her sexual abuse. Just to be
honest. How did it come up that she told you about the sexual abuse, and what was the scenario for that?
Well, we've been really close friends. I've been knowing her for over at least maybe 6 months now. Right. And, well, we've just been really close. Like, she's been really that open to me, and I'm really open to her.
Yeah, you became friends. Friend zone, too.
Yeah, I've been friend zone before.
Right.
But...
Yeah, but it sounds like you might be in the friend zone jail with this one if she's not attracted to you. Definitely, if she's had sexual abuse, that could, of course, be a factor and inhibit her from having intimate relationships. However, if she's just saying she's not attracted to you, it might mean that she just wants to keep it as friends. For whatever reason, you could analyze it, but she's telling you exactly what she wants. And the more you hang out and try to get her to, like, fall in love with you and change her mind and stuff, the less likely it is going to happen. So I would just accept that you're going to be friends and live your life, and she might, you know, who knows, she might circle back, but the more you're, like, chasing her and letting her know that you're way into her, it's probably not going to happen.
All right, give her space. Well, there you go. And, I mean, look, if you're calling on the baseline idea of her having trouble connecting with you and you want to know if past sexual trauma, I mean, that's number one symptom is of sexual trauma or sexual abuse is that you can't really develop intimacy, or at least you can, but it takes there's a lot of adversity there.
Right.
You know?
So it could be that, it could be him, but either way, you can't go into it thinking he's going to fix her.
Hello, Ben.
Hi. I've been married to my wife for 5 years. We both saved ourselves for marriage, and then we got married, and we have been married for 5.5 years, and we actually have still been unable to consummate our marriage.
Oh my God.
She had a hymenectomy about 3 years ago, and the gynecologist that performed the operation said that there was nothing, like, physically wrong with her. Like, it was a mental thing, but, like, so because he removed the hymen.
Wait. What's a hymenectomy,
Dr. Bruce?
Where they removed the hymen?
Okay, completely. Like,
yeah. So,
but okay, I'm correct, and I'm just confused here, Ben. But Dr. Bruce, Ben. I always assumed that even because you and your wife saved yourself for marriage, but I always assumed that women lost their hymen to other things besides sex.
Yeah, that's what I thought would happen. She's not like an athletic person. She never played sports or anything like that.
But sometimes the tissue is, there's a stronger hymen,
barrier,
so to speak.
Okay.
Right. So sometimes it has to be surgically corrected. So vaginismus was the diagnosis, and that many times has deep psychological roots. And you end up more working with a therapist than with a gynecologist, okay?
Yeah. So what they did is they told we recommended to go to something called the Women's Therapy Center
in
Longview, New York. And so she's going to this.
Okay.
It's obviously an investment. It's like an $11,000 program for 2 weeks. And so we're starting to save for it now so we can send her. So my call really was just to find out, like, you know, I've stayed faithful to her. This obviously has been, like, a really frustrating situation.
Sure.
But her and I have always kept this as an open communication between each other that, you know, this is hard, but that we're going to work through it together. What can I do for her during this 2 weeks that she's going to be gone? You know, like, what can I do to be the most supportive and helpful for her?
I think that's an Emily question.
Yeah, I mean, she's going to be gone at this intensive training?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure what you're doing.
Basically, so it's half physical therapy, where a part of it is that they basically show her, like, a diagram of all the muscles she has and, like, how to basically gain control. And then the second part of it is that is actual psychotherapy.
Okay, so it's far away, so you're not going to be there?
No, it's in New York, and I'm in California.
Okay, so can you talk to her? What do you need to do?
Yeah,
you just probably need to...
Absolutely.
I mean, I think you need to be supportive. Are you saying, like, you want to send her gifts, or you want to... I would just lend an ear.
If this is something that, like, obviously is extremely personal for her, like, I don't want to be overwhelming her. You know, I don't want to be like a cheerleader for her during those 2 weeks, because it's just Monday through Friday, but she has to be there for Monday through Friday.
But do you guys communicate about things?
I got to break it down for you, buddy. I understand you look at it as something that's very personal to her.
It's your wife.
You're her husband. It's not really you guys. This is for you both, not just her.
Yeah.
It's not all that
you're
personal.
You're like, they're getting your vaginismus.
Yeah. Listen, you should get an award. 5.5 years. I mean, that's where you've been there for. And just don't jump all over when she gets back after the first two weeks. Give it some time. Be patient. That's where it's going to really count.
And it's interesting that it's been 5 years, which leads me to believe you really haven't communicated much at all about sex in a way that I think would be healthiest for your relationship. So when you're like, it is very sweet that you're thinking, what's the best way to handle it? And I think that even before you go, you can tell her, listen, I really want to, if you feel comfortable, share within you the details and the journey. I know it's going to be a lot going on. And I'd love to, you know, every night, maybe we can touch base for 15 minutes and break it down. And I want to learn. I want to go along with you as if I'm there. Because that would be the healthy way, because she's going to want to share it with you. She's going to be going through changes. And you're going to need to know what she learns about her body and what's happening to her. You're going to have to be right there alongside her anyway. So you might as well just support her if that flies with her. Then she'll know more once she's there what she needs.
There you go.
She'll know even more.
All right.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. My friends, this is Loveline.
I'm Emily from SexWithEmily.com. GoodVibes.com has the best sex toys for men, women, and couples. Get the Pocket Rocket, the Rabbit Pearl, or the most powerful vibrator of all time, the Magic Wand. Use code EMILY for 15% off at GoodVibes.com.
Loveline.
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Yo, what up, everybody? It's Vinny Guadagnino. You remember me from the Jersey Shore? Well, I've got a new podcast. It's called Get Into It with Vinny G. That's exactly what we're doing. We're getting into it with my celebrity friends, with you guys. We're getting into pop culture. We're going to talk sports, politics, food, comedy, dating, relationships. It's the Jack of All Trades, Master of None podcast, just like me. It's fun, it's silly, and you should definitely get into it. So download Get Into It with Vinny G now at iTunes and at podcastone.com.
All right, it's almost time for the open forum. We want to know, open relationships, do they work? If they have worked for you, call us up and let us know. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Emily Morse is here from SexWithEmily.com and the Sex With Emily podcast. She has a whole bunch of awesome stuff going on, so always make sure you stay
check
up
it
to date.
Out. Yeah, thank you. And also follow me on Twitter and Facebook,
yes.
Sex With Emily, and I answer your questions if you send me them, your sex questions, feedback at SexWithEmily.com.
Emily is very devoted to her listeners and her fans.
I'd be nothing without them.
And Dr. Bruce is here. From Dr. Bruce has a thickpenis.com.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. What? Yeah,
it's very thick. It's girthy.
Compared to Mike's, or you mean?
Listen.
Mike thinks everyone's penis is grander than his. And
it
I
is.
Just don't know if it's true.
Most people's. I mean, not all, but most.
Have you actually seen his penis, or you're just assuming thick?
Bruce has a girthy, girthy root.
He doesn't know that it's fantasy. It's real. Who knows? He knows.
But hello, Allie.
Hi.
How are you, honey?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
We're amazing.
Good.
What can we do for you?
So my story goes, my boyfriend and I have been together for quite some time now.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we are together, I generally tend to hold myself back from finishing because of the mess it may make. And not to say that it's technically easy for me to finish. I don't get there without just on its own. I have to do something else to get myself there. But when it comes to that point, I kind of hold myself back.
Have you done it in the shower where you don't have to worry about? Okay.
By messy, do you mean like when you orgasm, you ejaculate?
Yeah.
Okay.
So can you put down some towels?
Yeah. No. And we've done that, and that's fine. But at the, like, I'm in my own mind, and it's kind of difficult for me to get there anyway.
Right. Okay.
I can't do it without, like,
a vibrator.
Yeah.
Okay. No, don't say yeah. That's fine. At least you can get there. Right. You know? So you know exactly what you need, and it probably feels really good. So the only thing here is that you are thinking about it a lot, and you're in your head. And when we're in our head about, you know, what might happen, it happened last time, then you're not going to be present with your partner and able to truly enjoy the sexual experience. So I think the fact that you're using a toy and that you might make a mess, as you call it, but really it's like female ejaculation and hot – I would think to you and your partner, throw down some towels, have them by the bed.
At the same time, though, we don't usually use like a vibrator or anything like that. Like I use my hands, and that at the same time, it's like I don't always get. I mean, I have a hard time getting there.
Right, a lot of women do during intercourse, or are there other things?
Yeah, until anything.
I just have unless I'm alone with a vibrator.
Right. Listen. Neurologically, until you're 30 or over, it's not abnormal to have the difficulties you're having. Just your wiring isn't there, and a lot of women don't appreciate that. And there's so many myths about when you should orgasm. But with intercourse, many women, it doesn't happen until after they're 30 years old.
And even then, only 25 to 30% of women actually have orgasms during intercourse.
I was just actually... Sounds funny. I was going to ask you. I this shouldn't be too graphic. There's innies and there's outies with ladies.
Talking about clitoris?
But lady parts in general.
Right. Okay.
The female friends that I have, the majority of the girls that are innies seem to be able to finish without any sort of external help with no problem. However, the girls that I know that are outies, including maybe myself, cannot quite get there without.
Are you talking about your clitoris being out and then a clitoris that it's being like kind of a lot of clitorises sort of stay buried until they get turned on and then they get engorged? Is that what you're talking about?
I guess.
We're not talking about belly buttons.
Yeah.
No, not belly buttons.
So you're saying?
Well, no. I mean, it's you've got to help us out a little because you are speaking in code. I mean, we don't know if you're talking about labia.
Are you guys all?
Well, you can be very graphic. And but also, it's not graphic if you're using actual description of your anatomy.
Yeah, you can use the anatomy.
Labia, everything. Labia, clitoris, everything outside. Having that exposed rather than having them being
like a moose knuckle. Yeah.
What do you guys call it?
Exactly.
So women who typically have ones that go inward, labia and clitoris, you're saying they're more likely to have orgasms during intercourse?
Yes, and that's really just from asking
three
my
friends?
Other female friends,
And how do you know? Like, did you guys all, like, line up your vaginas together and take pictures?
Yes.
Not take pictures, but, like, we take pee breaks together, and I'm like, I heard that there's a difference.
There's no medical substantiation.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Bruce. Have you studied this?
Yeah, it's...
Maybe it's your circumstance.
What concerns me is your concern in focusing in on your inability... to do something that physiologically your body's not ready to do. Just normal physiology in a woman. You're totally normal and you're gifted because the squirting thing is a gift.
Yeah, correct? And believe me, a guy doesn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just get out of your head and meet your body.
Talk to Jason. Hello, Jason.
Sure. Hey, how are we doing, guys?
Stop killing people at Camp Crystal Lake. Thank you. Go ahead.
I was actually just had a question about premature ejaculation.
Oh, I can tell you all about it.
Well, see, I never had that problem before. Mm-hmm. And then recently, it had probably been roughly 6-8 months between intercourse. And then I had experienced premature ejaculation at the end of that 6-8 months. But then, you know, I kind of figured that was normal or whatever right off the bat because of the downtime. And then... But it kept persisting. Like, it wasn't, you know, a problem that just kind of showed up and went away.
Same relationship? Different relationship?
Two different girls, multiple times with each.
Were you in a committed relationship, or was it sort of like no understanding? Was it a friends with benefits type situation, or what?
More like friends with benefits, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, your mindset has a lot to do with it. So you may have been fine for a long time, and then you get with somebody, and whatever psychological factors are there it's friends with benefits. There's some anxiety. It happens once and then it builds on itself.
Okay.
So if you've been able to, when you were okay, were there one night stands? Were there friends with benefits, or were you okay more in a monogamous relationship before?
As far as being okay, it went both ways. Whether I was in all of my relationships were monogamous, you know, anywhere between a year or so, and I never had problems there. But then also with, you know, after those relationships with like one night stands or
and how old are you?
Benefits, or, I'm 24.
Okay, and it just happened. So for a while, it didn't happen for a few years. Okay, for the last year or so, it's been happening, or a few months.
Yeah, roughly 6 months.
Okay, I would not trip on this. It sounds like you're not emotionally in a place right now. I don't think it'll keep happening. There are things you can do, like we talked about earlier, Kegel exercises for men. Right. I know that it's very helpful to do. Do you know what they are? You do them. They're like I have an iPhone app called Kegel Camp. You can download it in the iTunes store. It will remind you every day to exercise your PC muscles. You make them stronger, and then you can gain more ejaculatory control.
Are those like the muscles in the perineum, kind of? Okay.
Yep, exactly. It's like the pee-stopping muscles when you want to stop and start the flow of urine. You do it 5 times a day. And doctors will always tell you to do them. It's one thing you do. And then the stop-start method when you're masturbating with yourself, you kind of stop. Like when you know when you're about to get to your threshold of orgasming. Maybe you're at it like between 1 and 10, 10 orgasming, 1, you're not at all. Maybe when you're 7 or 8, you escalate. Then you stop. And then you go back up again. And then you'll start to notice, recognize the rhythm of how your body works. And then you'll be able
it. How old are you?
24.
Okay, here's another thing, dude. You're 24. Go round 2. I mean, I suffer from premature ejaculation too. I'm 35, and I probably have way less of a strong prostate than you do, and way less of a libido than you do.
Right.
I do my thing. I oftentimes will premature ejaculate, and I go down there and please the woman and
make sure she's always
You know, I kind of have also experimented with that too. You know, like I'll do my thing first, but then I kind of more focus on her for a little while until you'll
muster up another boner and then you go again.
Right.
You know, and it actually ends up working out great for me because then the second time around I'm completely desensitized and I can go like really hit it like
second
a champ.
Time you go longer.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about with that.
Once you start to work with it and embrace it, you will magically see it start to dissipate and it won't happen as often. So, but Emily gave you great, great advice because I don't think we give enough credence to the idea of kind of practice how you play, you know, in masturbation and so many, myself included, guys are guilty of just the sprint activity because we're capable of doing it. You know, it's like, let's get to the good.
So lucky, right?
All right. It's time for the open forum.
Oof. Do it.
Have you ever been in or are you currently in an open relationship? Tell us about how it works. We want to hear about the quality of, you know, because we are skeptical that it can be successful.
Should we say alternative relationship? Because there's like polyamorous.
Yeah, any form of open, any form of relationship where it's okay to not just bang your partner.
So even swingers.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We're
opening
up even swingers. Yeah. Okay.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Let's get it on right now on Loveline. Okay.
Time for you to give us your opinions and insight. Here's tonight's open forum.
Yeah, it's time for the open forum. Give us a ring. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Dr. Bruce here filling in for Dr. Drew. He's a great man.
He is a great man.
Thick root.
Thick, thick root. What else do you need?
Emily Morse is here. No root.
No roots anywhere.
It's a beautiful flower.
Yeah.
She is from Sex with Emily, the podcast. And Emily, we were having a kind of a – it wasn't actually heated. It was nice. It was a nice conversation about the idea of open relationships. And that goes for all of them. Yeah, all the type of forms of open relationships, swingers and polyamory and just the basic open relationship.
Right.
you're a believer that it can be a thing that can work. It can be an entity that's successful.
Yes, it can be, of course. I mean, not of course. People think it's ridiculous. How could you ever imagine your partner being with someone else? But all I'm saying is that a lot of people, we all do, we blindly sign up for monogamy. This is how it's supposed to be. I love my wife. We're going to get person, husband. We're going to get married. We're going to be together, and we're only going to have sex with each other. That's how it's done. Sign me up, monogamy. But I think that people fail to question it. Well, what if one day we want to have sex with someone else, and what would we do about that? And, you know, you just kind of shut it out. And I think that I do know that there are relationships where it's not the first day they meet. It might even be the first year, but they're together for a while. They're open about sex throughout their relationship, and they think, hey, might be kind of fun. And you have to be on a very solid ground, because the people I know who are in open relationships are fiercely, fiercely honest. Their communication skills rival a lot of healthy couples that I know that are monogamous, because you kind of learn to transcend that jealousy, because you have rules and you talk about it and you are like, okay, well, it's not like one person's like, sorry, I didn't come home. I met a hot chick last night. I mean, there's rules around it, and you have multiple partners. You have each other as a primary partner. And I know it seems very, you know, I'm not saying it's for everybody, but also if 50% of marriages end in divorce, let's just say, and a lot of it has to do with cheating or sex or other things, that if you have an open relationship where you allow yourself to experiment, but you have rules around it,
So one of the things that comes to mind is sex, something that's sort of the cement that helps to bind the marriage, and that's a reward for and part of the intimacy.
It is the glue rather than, to a marriage.
Okay, rather than a recreational activity that you choose to have with someone who means nothing to you.
I think you can have both.
And for some people, the feeling is that if you need to go outside of the primary relationship for sexual stimulation, that there's almost an unspoken rule or understanding in monogamy that basically
violates
the relationship.
But if you both want it and you agree, but there's different kinds of sexual relationships. Like, you know, in your life, you might have had friends with benefits, chick you weren't that into, someone that you love that broke your heart. You know that you're married to this person and you love them and you're going to be with them forever. But it's just like saying that you're never, you know, you're only going to have apple pie for dessert for the rest of your life and you're a C of a sweet tooth. You know, and you're just like, I can't have it. So you're like, oh, we're together. Things are good. Let's just go to figure out if we could maybe try it one night with someone. These are the rules, you know, no sleeping over. And then they talk about it. And maybe your partner might find, that kind of turned me on to hear about you with someone else.
One other thing I'd say, it seems like the people that are interested in doing it, or it happens more often in younger couples that haven't been together as long.
Oh, no. See, I see in older couples who have been together and they're on strong enough ground. Their health is built on rock.
That's when I think it works.
It's not built on sand.
That's when I think it works.
It's not like, let's save the marriage and go bang everyone and then we'll really want each other.
I think that's the pornography culture that we're in. I think there are more younger people that are fantasizing about threesomes and
orgies. I'm not
talking about that, but I mean, I think that it permeates society, and it's sort of like in young people, there are things sexually that are done more out of the myth that's been perpetrated.
Now, I'm actually talking about people in committed, solid relationships that they could turn to be, you know, that's something alternative.
Addiction medicine, one of the concerns I have, I do see that there's
use condoms all the time, protection.
Almost a unspoken epidemic, I think, of a lot of young guys just sitting at home with their computers watching porn. Absolutely.
And that is a whole nother issue deal with.
Right,
that's how they're learning about sex.
But that tends to, I think, what's the average age in North America that a boy watches first porn? 8 years old. So that's really, to me, sexual abuse. So there are a lot of things going on. And I think the majority of people that hear about threesomes or non-traditional relationships, it's through, you know, certain type magazines or certain type.
I'm not talking about like the number one fantasy for all men ever, except for to probably have oral sex every single day when he walks in the door, is to have a threesome. But I'm talking about couples who are together, they love each other, and because I believe that sex should be expansive to keep it interesting in a relationship, because otherwise it can become monotonous and the same over time. So let's say, and I'm not even saying it has to be with another partner. It could be with sex toys. It could be with like something, you just spice it up.
Right,
and
right.
If you both have fantasies of being with other people, could be interesting to try it out once you discuss it all. And you're like, and people get turned out, they have sex someone else together. They share the stories, and it spices up their relationship. Maybe even makes them want their partner more. Who knows what it could do?
Our open forum is devoted to open relationships. Open. So give us a call if you are in one or if you have been in one. We want to discuss the level of success that you had with that. Hello, Stacy.
Hi there.
What up?
So my husband and I are in an open relationship. We have been since we started dating. Mm-hmm. I took a little bit of time to sort of start opening it up a little bit at a time. We enjoy being with other couples. We enjoy being with single people. But we do definitely have rules. And if a rule is broken, we close the relationship and we work on why that rule was broken. And then when we're ready to open it back up again, we go ahead and we open it up again.
Can you give an example of some of the rules that you have? And first of all, how long have you been together?
So we've been together for 3 years now. We've been married for almost a year.
Okay.
And one of the rules is that we need to talk about it before we go into a situation. So if he's feeling it and I'm not, it's not going to happen. And vice versa. We also...
Gosh,
I'm sorry. He's with me. What other rules do we have?
Well, we kind of figured out that doing things separately isn't really our thing, and that's kind of...
So you want to be with another couple together or like a third person together?
What's that?
So you want to do it together. You want to have this sexual experience together with someone else.
Yeah.
Another woman.
Yeah,
other
man. Yeah, that's the only way it's a positive experience for us.
Is it usually the same scenario? Another woman, another man? How does it work?
Well, we've brought another guy in, we've brought girls in, we've had, you know, multiple girls and guys all at once.
Sweet.
You know, yeah.
Any drugs or alcohol involved? Ecstasy or?
No. I mean, well, there's alcohol. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
And I have a question with the men there. Are you with the men or it's more you're with there because it pleases your wife and you're part of the whole experience?
I'm never with the guys. I've had offers. It's
right, of course.
Thing.
Right.
It's mostly for her. The guys being there is for her.
Okay.
And, yeah. So the guys are having intercourse with your wife and you're watching?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, fun. Good times. I also think that, thank you for the call. I also think that it's hard to measure when we say it can work. It's hard to measure what working is. Just because they've been together a long time and they stay together and they're doing that stuff, like, and I'm not using them as a maybe they are perfectly happy. I'm just saying, like, a relationship like that. I'm trying to, like, put myself in their shoes. I may stay with my wife, but it doesn't mean that I'm emotionally fulfilled when I know that she's taking other dorks all the time. And, like, right. I got to watch her have sex. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but that may not turn you on at all.
It's very subjective to say this relationship works or this relationship doesn't, because closed or open, it's really hard to get a gauge on whether or not someone's romantic relationship is a good one or not. Because even if you ask them, you get them into a marriage counselor and you put that couple there and they go, oh, yeah, our relationship's great. That means nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's impossible to kind of create a scale of success when it comes to a relationship. It's one of those things that is so radically different from person to person.
Exactly.
You know?
And we're just trying. I'd be hard-pressed to find it. Like we were saying earlier, if it opened for a call in, if you think you have a perfect sex life or a perfect relationship, I think everybody's got their challenges.
I'd actually be more suspect of anyone who would call up. You know what I'm saying?
Anyone
who signs up to proclaim that they have a perfect relationship or perfect sex life, I'm almost guaranteeing that means that they don't. You know what I'm saying?
But it's like what you're saying about it being objective, you know, that you can't. I mean, there's always going to be what is a perfect relationship
right,
or what's
right.
But hello, I think it's some interesting stories. I'm not saying it's for everybody, right? Okay.
It's like, what's the perfect vagina? I mean, I know what I think, but hello, Tanya.
Hi.
What up, baby?
First of all, you all live.
You so live.
You live. You
yes,
live.
Bitch!
Anyways, me and my man have been together for 14 years. I got together with him when I was 17 and he was 19.
Mm.
We both had a child when I was 18 and he was 20. And I would say about 3 years into our relationship, we started dabbling with the open relationship.
But like the last girl that called, we do have rules. He cannot, like, for example, go on internet shopping for people. There's no, like, behind our backs. Like,
right, there's no cheating because, like, you guys discussed it all. Right.
Right. Like, you can't say, I'm going to the store and then go up and meet somebody. Right. Like,
that's not an open relationship. So, that's cheating.
Yeah. So how do you guys typically, how do you guys typically beat people?
Most of it is like friends, like people we know, like people that we're very comfortable with. And some of them, actually most of them have the same lifestyle. It's not particularly like strangers or anything.
Right. Is it swinging or is it more open? You say it's open relationship?
Like it's like kind of more like swinging. And we've done like individual where like we weren't in the same room. Mm-hmm. I would say about 50% of like each time we do a little bit of stuff like that. But I'm sorry.
I was going to say, how's your sex life one-on-one when you're not having out? Do you guys still have great sex?
Oh, yeah. Great. I mean, I was hearing Mike earlier and like, he was saying that sometimes if people say we have the perfect sex life, you know, normally they don't, but I would say ours is fantastic. Like, we pop on some porn, we have some good times, we could go on, like, pretty much.
Do you think it's because that you guys really kind of fulfill what you guys want? Like, you're not holding back from your desires sexually?
Yeah, I would say.
You communicate well, I don't know.
Honestly, it boosts up our communication between each other. I truly feel like, you know, you could be attracted to multiple people, but you could love one person. Mm-hmm. And I truly love him. And I hope the same vice versa.
Sounds like it.
Oh, yes. But,
I'm not talking about love. Yeah, exactly. You have a primary, you have a primary partner.
Emily Morse is here from Sex with Emily. So is Dr. Bruce. And we want to know, are you in an open relationship? Have you ever been in one? We want to hear about it right now on the open forum here on Loveline.
Hey, it's Emily from SexWithEmily.com. The Fleshlight, the most popular male sex toy, simulates the sensations of sex. It was engineered to look and feel like the real deal. Many people even think it's better than sex. Not that you'll never want to have sex again. It helps you practice lasting longer and becoming a better lover. Plus, you'll experience some of the most mind-blowing orgasms of your life. Go to SexWithEmily.com/Fleshlight to get your Fleshlight now. That's SexWithEmily.com/Fleshlight.
This is Loveline.
Loveline, we'll be right back.
You ready to get kinky?
Hi, I'm Shawnee O'Neill, inviting you to check out my new podcast with my friend Stella. It's the Mogul Moms Playbook. This is for all the superwomen out there juggling kids, career, parenting, and relationships. We know it's not easy, so we got your back. So join us and our celebrity friends for a little moral support, helpful tips, encouragement, advice, and a bunch of laughs. Download new episodes of Shawnee and Stella every Tuesday at iTunes and PodcastOne.com.
Yeah, man, it's Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. How well did your open relationship work out? How well is it working out? That is our open forum question for you. Emily Morris is here from SexWithEmily.com. So is Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce in the house. Hello, Tommy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Pretty good, man.
Well, so with mine, I met her in college, and I mean, it started off pretty fun, but you know, it's college. Everyone wants to be young and be happy. And she decided to go the route open relationship, so we went there. After a while, you know, bringing home different guys every day, actually, that's how bad it got, where it was a different guy almost every day, every night. You know, I decided, let's go, I'll do it too, I'll try bringing home a different girl every night. Say at least I wasn't as successful as she was. And then finally came across this, I guess you want to call her a little goody two-shoes. And then, you know, girlfriend started paying attention to me getting a little more attached, and she tried to play some ground rules. And I kind of didn't want to do it that way. I kind of was more like, you know, that's not fair to me. And she just, you know, no, it's an open relationship. And I thought we cared about each other. I thought, you know, we had something good. And then I kind of tried to put away my emotions, but I just, it didn't feel right. You know, well, I just couldn't.
Yeah. How long were you guys together before you opened it up in college?
Two years.
So you were, it was open the whole time?
That's a legitimate relationship.
Well, it started getting open after the first year because, you know, yeah, she just wanted
to. It sounds like you had problems with, like, jealousy and stuff at the very beginning, in which case, yeah, it just sounds like it didn't work for you. It does not for everybody. I mean, it's a very certain, people who know how to talk about it and communicate, and it doesn't sound like you were jealous, and, you know, those are all the things that people kind of learn to work through if they're really going to commit to it, or it's not for them.
Well, she was more of the jealous type than I was. I just, you know, just seeing her get screwed by a different guy every day. I mean,
were you watching?
Bothered me. Well, not watching.
You just saw him go?
You're hearing it, yeah. Like it started to get to me after a while.
You would listen to it? Like, you wouldn't? Okay, so that's abuse in a way. Would you be in the next room if she's having sex with someone?
Well,
unless
when
you
I come home from class or from work, and I just the guy sometimes would be sitting there, another guy would be there, and be like, oh, hey, man.
This sounds like torture.
Yeah,
this doesn't sound like an open
brutal
relationship.
Well, that was her definition of it.
Yeah.
But after a while, it led me to another girl, and that's now I'm in that current relationship.
Yeah, and you're monogamous and happy?
Yeah, it works. It works.
What do you mean it works? It doesn't sound very happy.
Well, it's starting out.
Okay.
Oh, so it should be good
now.
Well,
good luck with it.
First 3 months should be great.
Hello, Brittany.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
Hi. I was speaking to, there are so many variables, and communication is definitely the key because, again, there are so many variables. Like we were just hearing, the gentleman would hear his partner, not seem necessarily.
Yeah, that would be a rule that a lot of people would have is, you know, I don't want to
hear it.
Right,
or a code.
Right,
exactly. Or a code, possibly, like code words. Yeah, you definitely got to be able to communicate and set that all up in advance, you know.
Right, you need all the rules in advance. Like, you don't, this is not something you just, hey, tonight, we're a little buzz on, let's go be open. No, you set a lot of rules, a lot of communication.
So, Brittany, how long have you been in your open relationship?
I consider myself always to be in an open relationship.
Yes, okay. So give
you
us
know,
some insight.
Pretty much. I mean, I don't get in monogamy. That's weird that you say that because I have been monogamous. It's not that. It's, you know, basically it's open relationship. It is what it is. But I have been in monogamous by choice. That's interesting. It's an interesting concept.
Are you a leprechaun?
Yeah. Can you imagine Emily and Brittany in a room together where they had like unmitigated conversation? It was just nonstop. It would it'd be furious. Because Brittany said 90,000 words, and I got none of them.
Mine makes sense.
No, you do. No, you're good.
90% of them make sense. There's that extraneous words I
98.
Use. Yeah, and she was a little less, so I'd kill her in that match.
Oh, it wouldn't be. I'm not talking about a competition. I'm just saying, like, so much talk.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to hear. How about Jessica here? I'm miffed at this one.
Hello, Jessica.
This is actually, hi.
Hi.
So my husband and I started dating when I was 16 and he was 18. And after he came back from boot, he had sex for the first time. He was a virgin. I was not. I was very promiscuous when I was younger. So as we got older, when I was about 19, we had the discussion and I told him essentially that I wanted him to sleep with other people. And the reason for that is you can't go into Baskin Robbins for the first time, have chocolate ice cream, and say, that's my favorite. No, you have to try multiple flavors.
Exactly.
I didn't want to be 40 and have 3 kids and divorce because he didn't get the experience he wanted. And I knew he wanted the experience because he said he did. So we set rules, you know, no girlfriends, no dates, no bringing anybody home. You have to protect yourself and me. And, you know, I want to know that, you know, it's happened and who it is, because I want to know that I can trust that person. I don't want to have to worry about them going behind my back and trying to pursue my husband.
Right.
And it's worked. It's worked well, actually.
So he's still sleeping around.
He actually hasn't done it since we had our last child, primarily just because we don't socialize as much and we don't go out as much, but it's still an option.
Right. It ebbs and flows. Okay, and how long did you say you've been together?
Since I was 16.
Okay.
I'm 31 now.
Okay.
Nice.
Great.
And you have no desire. Oh, gone. She's gone.
Hello, Cassie. Hello, Cassie.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello. Hi, Mike.
Hi, baby. Okay, go. You go now.
Okie doke.
Lost her.
Yeah.
Hello, Zaina.
Hi.
What up, baby?
First of all, you're awesome at Tiger Box.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. You must have. She's referring to my bravura performance of Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train in Las Vegas.
Oh, missed
yes,
it.
Yes, it was.
Can we watch it somewhere?
Powerful. I don't know. Anyway, go ahead, Zaina.
Anyway, so my husband and I have been together for just about 15 years. We're going to be married 5 years. The first year of our marriage was pretty rocky. Like, there was.
Ew.
We went to counseling and therapy, and we're good. We're solid. We're totally solid now. And we've been talking about fantasies and having another person join the two of us. And it's taken a long time, but we finally met somebody, and she's married. Apparently, she's been married for like 8 years, but we haven't consummated
the third, yeah. But you just met her out a few times.
Yeah, we've met her a few times, and we like communicate with her, and it hasn't happened yet. I don't know. It's a little nerve wracking, because of our past.
Right.
But
well, you want to take? Yeah, you want to take your time. You said the first year was rocky. Did someone cheat?
Ew.
I would say it was kind of on both parts.
Okay, so there's still some trust things even 15 years later. Yeah, they're triggering.
I feel like our communication now is pretty solid. We're solid, and that was one of the concerns. Was like, okay, so if things don't work out with this girl, can we cut her off? Like,
I mean, you need to talk to her as well.
You have to kill her, right?
Yeah, or something like that. No, but you got to be like, and she'll know that she's just coming in for a night and for fun.
So, who's more into it, you or your husband?
I think my husband more. He wants to see me with her.
Yeah.
And are you interested in being with her, a woman?
Definitely. She's hot. I'm definitely down. I'm a little nervous because I've never been with a woman in front of somebody else.
Right.
Right.
So, a little nerve wracking, but
You could also just ease into it. I mean, you're into it and your husband's into it, so it doesn't mean that you have to go all out the first night. You could just kind of maybe start slowly, kiss, make out, not ever stay over, and ease into it. But if you feel uncomfortable, you got to pay attention to those feelings until you're 100% ready. So it sounds like you're moving towards it, but I wouldn't rush it.
So,
you guys have been together 15 years.
The rules involve him having intercourse with her?
Definitely condom. That's pretty much the only rule I have right now. I don't know what the boundaries are. I don't know what.
No butthole.
This is what you got to. Yeah, there's a great book called The Ethical Slut, actually, and it was probably the best book written on this by Dossie Easton. And you can read it. And there is a question. There's a list for couples, and it really explains it really well about how it works. But there's a lot of things that you need to negotiate, that you shouldn't guess at.
It's a great name.
Yeah.
The Ethical Slot. Yeah. It is probably one of the best books.
I just want to ask you one thing, though.
She's gone.
I don't want to ask her. I want to
ask Emily? Oh.
Yeah.
Emily.
Me? It would seem like that we could agree that probably if you are in a relationship that's not working out, this is not the way to heal the relationship.
Not at all. It's like having a baby to save the relationship.
Right.
Not insane. A good idea. Yeah.
Insane in the membrane.
Exactly.
Do not do this.
It is, in fact, insane in the membrane, Dr. Bruce. Thank you for that timely reference.
Well, after your Led Zeppelin membrane. Reference earlier, my friend. Mr. 60s music reference over
Wait,
there.
Wait, I made a Zeppelin reference?
Oh, yeah.
It was actually Halen, but...
No.
I made a Van Halen reference.
Last night, it was a Zeppelin reference,
that's
my
true.
Friend. And a Beatles.
But that's vintage.
He's full of references.
That's vintage.
Yeah,
I can reference
Bruce,
anything.
You're always making biblical references, so...
Yeah. Wasn't that who's insane in the mirror? That was something Cypress Hill. Cypress Hill.
Yeah. So. Well, you've got to cut Dr. Bruce some slack. Jesus. He served in triage in the Spanish-American War. And Emily is here from sexwithemily.com. She is a beautiful lady with a beautiful vagina. Dr. Bruce has a
Wasn't
thick root.
Teddy Roosevelt?
Yes.
He was a rough writer. Softly. Carry a big stick.
That's right. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Give us a call. It's Loveline.
I'm Emily from SexWithEmily.com. Keep your intimate areas dry, fresh, clean, and ready for action with Down Under Comfort. Yes, I'm talking about your balls. A cream formula that turns into a powder. Go to EmilyandTony.com. Use code Emily for 20% off. That's EmilyandTony.com.
Back with more Loveline in a bit.
Loveline.
Loveline.
Hey, I'm Jake.
And I'm Amir. And we're from that appropriately named web series, Jake and Amir.
We're also the voices of If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by us.
That's right. Every week we offer our personal insight to real problems submitted to us by real people, and sometimes even our comedy friends join, like Ben Schwartz, Thomas Middleditch, and Allison Williams.
The important thing is, the advice is often pretty bad.
But hopefully always funny.
So, go to podcastone.com and hit that download button to hear our terrible but hopefully funny advice.
Thanks, guys.
It's Loveline, everybody. Dr. Bruce is here filling in for Dr. Drew, and Emily's here because it's the end of the week. Let's party, bro. Hello, Angel.
Hey, Mike?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, man. How are you?
Good, good, good. Just calling because, all right, so I've been with my girlfriend for like 3 years, and she's like, in my eyes, she's way out of my league. And so I feel like every time I'm trying to get the mood going, I'm trying to, you know, get it going.
Mm-hmm.
And she realizes what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. I sneeze. Right now, like about an hour ago, we're at a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And we're drinking, and you know, when you start getting buzzed, you start talking a little dirty. And then I just sneeze. And so I was like, why do I always do that? Why do I always sneeze when I'm starting to try to get the mood going? And so she said, call Loveline.
Dr. Bruce?
I don't have a good answer. Sorry.
There you go.
There you go. You sneeze. But is it a problem? Like, do you just sneeze and then you get down to business?
It's not a problem. I was just curious as far as, like, is it connected somehow to, you know, whatever causes me to get turned on? You know, because it's like
pepper
it's like
flavored lube.
Okay, so you can be sitting
good
in
try,
a...
Anderson.
No you can pepper be sitting, flavored lube?
No. You can be sitting in a bar... talking dirty or having during sex, this will also happen. You will sneeze during sex.
Yes.
And this is the first woman this has happened. You could talk dirty to other women during sex because they weren't as hot and you wouldn't sneeze.
This is the first time, yeah. I mean, this girl that I'm with right now is definitely the hottest girl I've ever been with. And I've never been like, I think it might be connected to like the fact that I'm nervous.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It's a nervous sneeze.
Right. I just don't know the central nervous system etiology or cause of this reaction, but
it's
they're
probably all connected.
So, I mean, some people might develop hiccups related to certain emotional content, and for you, it's sneezing. Why that is, I don't know, and how maybe she could do something to alleviate your tension or anxiety. I mean, why do you feel like she's? I mean, you know, it's liking each other. Is she that hot, as you say, that you feel very inadequate or?
Well, I mean, I just feel like whenever I try to have sex with her,
uh-huh.
I feel like it's always like I'm throwing a Hail Mary. Like it's like I'm praying that it'll happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. So does she give you
but
any reassurances?
Wait a second. If you're with her and you have been for a while, you shouldn't feel that way. I mean, she's clearly, I understand you feel like she's out of your league, and that's actually, you know, kind of cute. I mean, it's really kind of endearing. Yeah. But she has given you the thumbs up. You're together.
Or has she? Does she make you feel like every time, wow, you're just lucky you got any? Does she tell you she loves you, or is it a committed relationship, or is it just like, we're going to go out to the bar and maybe I'll get lucky.
Maybe we'll hump.
Yeah.
It's a committed relationship, but I mean, I wouldn't say we have sex too often, so sometimes when we do it, it's kind of like
you feel
a privilege.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
So she doesn't have sex with you as often as you want?
Well, no. I think we're a little bit different.
Okay, and so the sneezing thing, like, do you sneeze, like, is it like you can't stop sneezing for 20 minutes, or you sneeze once and then you get it on?
It's just once. And so sometimes, like, we're in public and I'll sneeze just, like, from, like, allergies or whatever. And she's like, what, are you, you know, are you horny? Are you thinking about something? I'm like, no, that was just an actual just rat.
Yeah, okay, so make a joke out of it. Yeah. Like, I used to have this guy, he had a nervous laugh. Several guys. The guys have this thing, they don't know this, but they have this nervous laugh they do when they're nervous, like, oh, yeah, so what are you doing? And it's like this weird nervous laugh, like a yawn. So I used to joke with this guy that I was dating, like, was that a nervous yawn? Was that? And then sometimes he would just yawn. He'd be like, Emily, I'm really tired. So we all have these things, and I wouldn't trip on it. Doesn't mean a big, you know, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just, it's bothersome that he feels so inadequate.
Yeah,
in this,
let it go. Accept it, and then it'll probably even go away.
Yep.
Word. Hello, word. Anastasia.
Hello. How are you guys?
We're great.
Oh, good. So my question was, I have been wondering how to go about, or if it's a good idea in general to tell my boyfriend about some past sexual traumas that I've been through.
Sure.
We've been together for about a year now, and I, you know, he knows nothing about that. I just don't know how to go about telling him.
Well,
have you been through? How old were you when it occurred? Have you been through therapy, and has it affected your sex life?
It happened when I was 19 and 20. I did go through therapy, and I'm still, you know, I'm still working on everything, and it did affect my my sex life and romantic life for a very long time. This is the first significant relationship that I've been in since then, about 4 or 5 years.
Okay, and how long have you guys been together?
A year.
Okay.
Do you think is it something where you could explain a problem in the relationship by telling him this? Or is everything okay and it's an extraneous
It could explain some issues. Just sometimes when I have, you know, just sometimes those bad days come up, I'll sometimes get a little snappy or something, and he'll obviously be confused of why I'm being like that. And, you know, those are pretty, you know, few and far in between nowadays, but I would still like to just open up to him about it, but I'm just not sure if it's really a good idea or, like I said, how to go about it.
Yeah, and it depends on your feeling about his ability to process that, and do you feel like he might reject you if you tell him, or is something he should know before you go further in the relationship? What are your feelings?
I'm just scared. I am scared about how he'll react. I'm just, you know...
Do you love him?
I'm nervous. That's kind of, I care about him a lot.
How long you been together?
A year.
Okay. Right. Do you have a therapist that you're in touch with that you went to after whatever happened?
Yes.
Okay. So one thing to do is go make an appointment, go see them. And because we can't get into all the details of what happened to you and how this would play out if you told him, maybe sit down with the therapist and maybe if she thinks it's appropriate, bring him in where you have a little bit of a controlled environment, and then also just based on the boundaries of your relationship, see if she thinks the timing's right to tell him.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, yeah.
All right. Thank you, honey.
Okay, thanks.
Good luck. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Emily's here. Dr. Bruce
sex
is here.
With Emily.
Yeah.
Hey, Sex with Dr. Bruce.
Sex with Dr. Bruce, a great website. Of course, Emily is at Sex with Emily on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, follow us. We're going to post a really cool selfie in a minute.
Eventually, when Emily gets enough
storage in my phone,
memory on her phone,
every
we will post an awesome,
right.
Awesome picture.
I'm working on
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
I'm Emily from sexwithemily.com. Want to surprise your love with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Go to adamandeve.com and use coupon code EMILY for 50% off plus 3 adult DVDs plus a free gift. Hey, I'll even throw in free shipping. Remember to use coupon code EMILY at adamandeve.com.
After a love line, the craziest question.
What's the craziest question you've ever gotten on Love Line?
Back with more Love Line in a bit.
Thank you.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number to call us here. Emily Morse is here from sexwithemily.com, and so is Dr. Bruce. He is here from drbruceisrad.com. Hello, Paul.
Mike, Emily, Bruce, you live.
You live.
Yeah.
You live.
I wonder if you could settle a debate for me. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my friend Abby right now who's listening. We were talking, and I'm a little
Dear
older
Abby.
Right now.
Abby Road.
I'm a little older now. My friends are settled down. They don't want to go out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to go out, see if I can meet a girl, pick her up at the bar. My question is there any way I can do that and not be creepy to the guy who's alone at a bar?
How old are you?
Good question.
31.
31?
Yes.
That is not the old creepy guy at the bar. I don't know what bars are going to, but I don't...
Well, not so much the old creepy guy, but just being alone. And a girl asks, well, what are you doing here? It's like, well, I'm by myself. Like,
yeah, you just came from a meeting and you're having a drink and you're having a good time. You're reading a book. Do people do that anymore? You're on your phone. Hey, yeah.
I have to bring a book now?
No, you just said your phone. I don't think that anyone's like doing like the Inquisition. Like, who are you here? You're alone? You could be like, yeah, I just met some friends after work. Or just be like, I'm hanging out, having a drink, had a crazy day, just celebrating. You know, just be yourself. Be confident that you're sitting there at a bar and that you chose to do that. And if you're confident with it, no one's going to question you.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, don't you have a single female friend
exactly.
that you can
and go
with
Abby
with there? Yeah.
Yeah, I should be bringing Abby. But
bring Abby, a wing woman. I'm not saying, but I'm saying if you choose to go alone, just own it. Nothing
all
wrong
right.
with that.
No, that's fair enough.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm hanging out at a bar. What are you doing here? You know?
If I was out in L.A., I'd be asking Emily to come with me.
But. Oh, yeah.
I'm a good wing woman. I get all my guy friends laid. That's one of the things I'm proud of. I mean, a lot of things I haven't done that well in life, but I help a lot of my friends find good love. Sex.
Yeah. I need to switch coasts.
Yeah.
Move on out to California. We don't have enough people.
And Emily will rock you. She will drain you of jizz.
Not me necessarily, but perhaps
no, you.
Tangentially.
I'm saying you. I'm giving you to him.
Thank you,
Mike. Let's see. Let's talk to Lilith.
Yes. Hi,
Hello.
Guys. How are you?
We're doing great.
All righty. So I have a question. My husband was just recently, actually he found out that he has major kidney stones, and currently it's stuck in the urethra.
Mm-hmm.
And
ureter.
Whatever, sorry.
The tube between the kidney and the bladder, it's stuck there. Yeah, it shouldn't affect sex or anything like that. I mean...
Well, I wanted to make sure that because last time when we had intercourse, the performance wasn't, like, so out there that it's usually there. But, and then he couldn't figure out if he already finished, and... It wasn't just the same way, so I was wondering if that has some sort
well,
of effect.
Well, I shouldn't say it wouldn't affect sex. I mean, it's horribly painful, and the stone that's stuck there.
Pretty big.
Yeah, and then they give you, you know, certain medications that make you pee more, and then medication for pain, which usually it's the villain Vicodin or Norco, and that will affect your sexual performance. So the pain, the medications, the stone itself being in the ureter is not affecting sex, but extreme pain, even if you're, and then if you're taking a pain med or the medicine, Flomax or whatever they give him to make
Flomax, he's off of the Flomax and then the Vicodin.
Exhaust system.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway. Yeah. First of all, those things, there's no relationship between that and any future sexual function and not a direct relationship between affecting current sexual function.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, baby.
Did Flomax sing that song about riding your bike with no handlebars?
I knew it.
Flobots.
Oh, Flobots.
Good call. Good call. That was actually pretty sweet. Hello, Stella.
Hi, Dr.
Stella! Thank you. Hello.
Hi. So I've been with my boyfriend for 6 years. I'm 25 and he's 23. And he recently, like 2 days ago, told me that he... wasn't happy and had mixed feelings and didn't know what he wanted anymore and totally blindsided me. So you think like is this normal behavior? Like, is this something that you think it'll pass by or?
How old is he?
Breaking up with me? He's 23.
And how long have you been together?
We've been together for 6 years.
And you're 23?
I'm 25.
Okay, yeah. So he was 17 and you were 19 when you got together.
Yes.
So bad math. I mean, it's probably a good thing to break up, because those years of so many changes occur, and those should have been years where you were, you know, finding yourself, dating different people, getting to know.
But now you still can, like, not even should have, but I think he's, he's right. I think that you could try to make it work again. You love him. You guys are attached. You were together. You grew up together, basically. But I think you should listen to his words and not try to get, maybe he'll come back around, or you will. But I think right now, take the break, do your thing, spend some time apart. See what that's like as an adult now. You've been with him since,
Seems like the end of the world. It sounds like you're hoping this will work out.
I know. I know how it feels, the end of the first love.
It's heartbreaking. And it's totally blindsided. I feel like I didn't see this coming at all. So that's why it's kind of like, I don't know what this means. He says he needs the space, and I want to give that to him. But it's just so hard when you're so accustomed to someone.
Right.
When it's like a death almost.
Yeah. So, and the numbers there, you were 19, he was 17. Between 17 and 23, a guy changes just totally. So these would not be good odds if you stayed together, but that's a very painful thing to hear. And maybe you could sit down with a therapist and work through some of this, because it sounds like you're in a lot of pain. It's going to be a very difficult breakup, but I don't know that there's any way something like that could work and be successful. And you want to be happy years from now, not stick to something that's not.
Does that commonly, do you think, our paths will maybe cross again? Or, do you think it's something that just happens and then you move on?
This is really common at your age to have been with someone this long. I think it's really common. You might, but I think what you have to do, who knows? Maybe you'll be best friends one day. But for now, he's telling you he needs a break, and you need to give him that break. And it's best to have no contact. I know you're best friends, but to just kind of, give him that space, and you give yourself space, and you'll be amazing what you find on the other end of it.
Good luck. Thank you for the call, honey.
Let's see here.
Let's talk to Tony. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Go ahead.
I laughed at you.
Thank you. Go, Tony.
I can hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, great. So very quick question. So I'm stuck in a little situation where I found out that this girl kind of, she liked me, but she never said it directly. And
how do you know? How do you know if she never said it directly?
She's touching me in class and stuff, doing things trying to get my attention all the time, because I wasn't giving her the attention in the past.
So why don't you make a move? Why don't you make a move?
I did try, but then she kind of held my hands behind and, just eventually told me that she had a boyfriend.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's the situation.
She's
so
teasing you.
Yeah, that's how I feel completely. I feel like completely she's been teasing me. So
she is. She's playing you out. Don't let her play you like a
bitch. Yeah, you're like her friend. Don't you comfort her, but she really likes someone else. So she's not treating you well, how you would want to be treated. It doesn't sound like it.
Why are you attracted to this situation?
Good question, Doctor.
Yeah. Boom.
Yeah, well, the thing is that we're in this class. I guess she's known me for more than a year or two because of this program that we're in school. So I guess eventually she caught my attention, and, I started talking to her, and I love talking to her.
And she's got a boyfriend.
I understand, but she knows she has a boyfriend, and she knows she's getting a rise out of you. So stop it. Don't play into her little weird game.
You're not going to change your mind right now.
No. And if
you don't want to.
How much longer after you ended up with her would you be wondering if she was out talking to another guy that ended up in the situation you're in now? So, right?
Well, yeah. Well,
you got to think more of yourself. You got to think more of yourself than to put yourself in that kind of a situation with someone like that. She doesn't sound like she's good material for you to pursue. Yeah.
Emily, thank you as always.
I love being here with you.
We love having you.
It's awesome.
Dr. Bruce, thank you as always.
Hey, anytime.
It's great when you come visit us. And new film vault, right, Anderson?
Yeah, the Vaulties. It's our favorite one of the year. It's where we talk about the best movies from last year right after the Oscars. We let you know if they're streaming on Netflix, so it's a good one to check out.
If I had to guess what Anderson's favorite movie is from last year, it would be probably whatever the newest Transformers is, because you're a
That's
big fan.
Brian. You're talking about Brian.
Big fan of that series.
Brian tried to ruin this episode by talking about 80s movies, but it's still a very solid episode. We talk about Birdman.
This is your big episode of the year, right?
Yeah, we talk about Whiplash. We talk a lot about Frank. We talk about some great films.
All right, there you go. It is the Film Vault, an excellent podcast done by our own man behind the wheels of steel, Mr. Anderson Cowan. And remember, people, as we go into this weekend, which could be rough because it is the end of the week and you probably don't have work and maybe you're going to have an open relationship or something and a safe word and all that fun stuff. In this crazy mixed up world that makes you think that nobody cares, we do. Be good.
This has been Loveline.
The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station.
Loveline is produced by Ann Ingold.
Engineered by Anderson Cowan.
Loveline.
Game over, man. It's game over.
The ending just felt flat.
I do believe that is the end.
Stanley. Stanley. Stanley.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.